marriage, fornication, adultery, something to think of, isn't it? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, marriage is honorable in all, and the dead undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. What world we live in, what can you think of that is a greater impact than, first of all, marriages that are not made in heaven? Secondly, adultery. Thirdly, fornication. Incest, idolatry, it's everywhere present in this world today, bound up in the hearts of mankind, and it's all a part of that which was evident in Noah's day and Lot's day in that circumstance. Homosexuality, sodomy, lesbianism, and now what have we got?
I don't know how many letters they've got now.
Yeah, I don't either. I can't even say them all in there in that order, but we've got children, instead of wanting to be boys, they want to be girls, and vice versa. We've had, for a long time, as far as I can remember, we've had grown-ups that have wanted to change their sexual identity.
Yes.
But this thing about children is absolutely new.
Yeah.
And not only are the children wanting to do it, but the parents are teaching them and encouraging them to want to change their sexual identity.
Right.
And it's the most absurd thing, I believe, that ever has been. I cannot fathom it at all.
Brother, there was a family in Arizona, mommy, daddy, brother, sister, all four of them were transitioning.
All four of them.
I mean, it's just...
It's just the opposite of what they are, because there's only two, boy and girl. Ah.
But the parents and the children, they're all in agreement in this stuff.
Where was that? Arizona.
And how can a parent tell their four-year-old child that, or agree with it?
That's what I'm talking about. It is. It's so, first of all, illogical.
Yes.
It makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. And this thing about gender, this day and time, these smart and smart-aleck people that are coming up through these colleges, they are trying to say that there is no such thing as gender, or if there is, it's all kinds of gender, and nobody can know what they are or what they're not, and if they did, they have every right to change. I guess they think that they were misdirected in the womb. I don't know what they think. What in the world are we talking about?
Yeah.
What are we coming to? Or what have we come to today? How much worse can it get? How much longer, Lord, will you tarry your coming?
Amen.
Satan's at work.
No doubt about that.
It's his little season. There is no question about it.
Absolutely.
It is his little season. Marriage, the text says, is honorable in all. But now here's the thing. The Bible just assumes that everybody knows and understands that marriage is between a man and a woman, and that that marriage is constituted by God.
Amen.
That it began way back over in the second chapter of the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings. When God made Adam, he made him male. And he went through all of the beasts of the world, everything, every species, everything. And he named everything that there was, but in the process, he did not find a mate for himself. There was none, because God had not created one for him. But God comes in then, and he says, and by the way, why did God do it this way? I don't know. It was because of his infinite wisdom, and because it suited his eternal purpose that he did it this way. I mean that he did not create the woman right away when he created the man. Evidently, he did create male and female as far as the animals were concerned, the fowls of the air and so forth and so on. Because Adam named them, but then it is said that he found not a mate suitable for himself. So then God comes and he says that it is not good for man to live alone, right? And so he created a help that was meet for him, or right for him. And so he put Adam into a deep sleep. That was the first anesthesia.
Right.
I don't know what he used, but that was the first anesthesia. But anyway, he put Adam into a deep sleep. He took a rib from his side, and he made of that a woman. And what did he do with that woman? He brought her to the man. And the man said, that's kind of interesting that God didn't say this. Man said it. Adam said it. She is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. she shall be called woman. Adam named the woman. Right?
Yep.
That woman, not coming.
And so, it's been that way ever since, people. And I don't care what all these people say. It's the biggest lie, or one of the biggest lies that the world has ever had foisted upon it by Satan and his cohorts, that there are other genders besides male and female. And not only that, but they're also teaching this day and time, or saying this day and time, that a man can have a baby. What kind of stupidity is that?
That was one woman said that.
Yeah, it just, and it, but you see, it just keeps going on and on and on. And the blindness is not of the eyes. The blindness is not of the mind. The blindness is of the heart. And they just are not going to have this man to rule over them. It doesn't matter what. But marriage is honorable in all. It is, was God's purpose that man and woman come together as one, and that they first of all procreate. Isn't that what it says? Be fruitful and multiply. And then he repeated that when he destroyed all the earth. And by the way, what was one of the major issues with God that he destroyed the earth? Well, it was when the sons of God saw
the
daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took of them all that they chose. So God destroyed the world of mankind and animal kind and all, and then he said to the sons of Noah again, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Marriage instituted by God. There can be no marriage except that which is instituted by God. Now, again, I don't care what any governmental authority says.
Amen.
There can be no marriage outside of that which God has ordained. Any so-called marriage than that is a direct affront unto God. But is there any fear of God?
No. Now, look, they're marrying animals, and I just read last week some other nonsense that some guy married his computer or some deal like that. I mean, it is just unbelievable.
I wouldn't want my computer.
Well, they perverted the word marriage. And
well, they spend all their time on the computer instead of having
a I saw a title of a documentary about, I think it was a man marrying his car.
Maybe that was it, yeah.
I mean, it's just,
well, it's a perversion of love. They pervert that word.
It is.
Well, at that point, we can say that it's idolatry.
Well, of course, yes.
It is idolatry.
Right.
Because they think that's how much they think of that car or animal or whatever it is. And the sad thing is, again, how do you put all this in?
How do I know?
I don't know. But is it sad? I don't know. Is it really sad? Or you know, should we really be thinking in terms of God destroying these people? I don't think that's wrong for us to desire that for God to destroy this wickedness.
Right.
And the only way you can destroy that wickedness is destroy the wicked.
Right.
But they've got so-called ministers, they're calling themselves ministers of God, that are promoting all of this kind of blasphemy and reproach of the Almighty Holy God. It's amazing.
It is.
I'm thankful for the day and time that the preachers preached on the difference between love and lust. I'm thankful for that time. But you don't hear that anymore. It's all lust. Love is just lust for the most part. There are people that do, Christians left that we know, and know the difference in the next generation. My husband, I'm sorry. That's just, it began a long time ago.
Well, it's true. Marriage is, in the eyes of God, a blessed and a holy thing.
So it is.
Number one, because, once again, it is a picture of the union between Christ and His church. But it doesn't seem that way anymore. And again, most of marriage today is based solely upon lust.
Yes.
And therein it lies a great difficulty in, again, differentiating between what is acceptable romantically in a marriage and what is become lust in every, almost without exception, every marriage. Do we realize that wives can become idols?
Sure.
Become what?
Idols.
Oh, okay.
And husbands can be also. If you care more for your husband or your wife or your child, right?
Right.
If you love them more, Jesus said, than you love me, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Children are the heritage of the Lord, from the Lord. But children have become, again, idols. And it's almost expected today. And If you don't believe that they become idols, then you just need to drive on these buses for a while or teach school. Go to and teach school for a while. Of course, you can just go into a grocery store or a department store or something and see how they're treated or how the children treat the parents, really.
Unbelievable.
And you've got a good picture of what's going on. And
in the grocery store, they go down the aisle picking out the groceries for the parents to buy for them and for the rest of the family even.
One of our lady bus drivers the other day was saying that what she does, she asks her children, what do you want from the grocery store? And so she, whatever it is that they want, that's what she goes and buys. And all of this is purported to be good. It's purported to be loving your child. So, no, it's no wonder, again, that we're growing up in a society that is idolatrous. They're whoremongers. They are fornicators. All of these things and more are happening. And why is it today that there is so much abuse of children within the family? I mean, I'm talking about not only physical abuse, but sexual abuse. Incest. What used to be a crime, a very serious crime, is almost being overlooked today.
And encouraged.
Yeah, I guess you could say that. It is being encouraged over the internet. There's all, at least they're telling us that that's so. That they're fighting it or trying to fight it all the time. But, you know, they're trying to fight prostitution all the time. And it's not doing any good. It's getting worse instead of better. But we can say that about a lot of things, can't we? How about drugs? The use of drugs. It's rampant. So here we are. God says that marriage is honorable in all. There's nothing that God opposes in a true marriage. You know, we often say that, again, that marriage is made in heaven. It's a marriage made in heaven. Of course, today, most of the time, those marriages that are made in heaven don't last very long, do they?
All right. So,
now, someone points out, God forgives all kinds of sin. And that's right. God does forgive all kinds of sin. But the problem is, in today's world, there's no repentance from it. In fact, they don't even think it's a sin. So how can they possibly repent of something that they don't even think is a sin? But they believe that God approves all of this stuff.
Right.
And we're seeing that which Daniel prophesies of when he says, we shall seek, change times and laws. Marriage is a law of God. I guess I'm sure y'all realize that. It is a law of God, ordained of God, set in stone, if you will. And God is not going to be moved by all of this rebellion and just out and out anarchy that's taking place in the world today. Marriage is honorable in all. Now, once again, this term all includes what? It doesn't include animals, does it? That we're just talking about animals. Or inanimate objects. How can you marry an inanimate object? There must be some consent on both parts, right? At least to some degree. Now, again, we've turned marriage upside down in that the importance is centered mainly upon the bride,
right?
Today,
right?
That's no secret, is it?
No.
I mean, it's the bride's gown that costs $5,000, $10,000.
Right.
And it's the bride is the one that is the center of attention in all of this.
Right.
But that's not biblical, is it?
No. No.
You know, we've got some old pictures. I guess everybody has old pictures, right? But we've got some old pictures, and it's interesting that in those pictures, instead of the wife sitting down, who is sitting down and who's standing? Well, it's the husband that's sitting down and the wife is standing. Not anymore, right? I mean, they wouldn't think of that. But when you, even when in the marriage so-called vows, and I sometimes I shudder to think, you know, what they're going to face when they face God. But in the marriage vows, you know, we used to say, the husband, the wife, submit herself to the husband. Wives obey. Like we used to use that term, right?
Yeah,
wives obey your husbands in the Lord. But you know, if you say that today,
you get.
I mean, people look at you like you're crazy. But you know, if you're going to. If a minister is going to perform a marriage, he better perform it according to the Word of God.
You know, Madame Blavatsky got married, and that Blavatsky was her marriage name, but it never was consummated, and that was the very reason it wasn't consummated, is because she was not going to obey her husband. That turned her right off.
Yeah.
But I just always thought that was interesting. Of course, she's the epitome of evil.
Well, we just ignore that today and go on. She wouldn't have a problem today.
No, right? It's just words now.
And so it's amazing.
There is an old song, and the one verse in there I just love. It talks about the bride eyes not her garment, but her dear husband's face. What is the name of that song?
Well, I can't think of it right off
hand. It's a good song.
We all know what you're talking about. So.
It is a very good song, but that's
good.
That we don't have anymore.
Marriage.
Much.
The true marriage. A godly marriage. A God-instituted marriage. Is honorable in all. In other words, again, not only is it acceptable to God, but it is an honor. And isn't that what we're supposed to do? Is to honor God, to glorify God in all things. But the world is perverting everything. Everything. It doesn't matter. Now, we're about out of time here, and we've just got really touched on this. We haven't even got into the idea of fornication and adultery and all of that. We did touch upon the idea of incest. But God is glorified in a true marriage. He is glorified in the sexual union. And sometimes that's hard for me to wrap my mind around. And yet it is a picture of the union, the intimacy, and that's the reason that it is between one man and one woman. Because there's one Christ, there's one bridegroom, and once again, the emphasis is on the bridegroom, biblically speaking. But there's one bridegroom and there's one bride. And I don't care what some of the Baptists say. There's not going to be multitudes of brides. In other words, every local church is not going to be the bride of Christ. There's going to be one bride.
Right.
There's going to be one, I don't care what they say either, there's only going to be one universal body. There's only going to be one universal church, and it's going to consist of everyone from Adam to the end of the age. There's just one shepherd. There's one sheepfold. And they can try to pervert all of that. But that's the reason that we're in this mess, is because the ministers of the gospel, at least so called, have gotten away from the truth of God's word and have mingled in all the notions of the world.
Also.
So, what can we expect? But is God surprised?
No. Instead, it would be that way.
But it's ordained to the condemnation of the world and the judgment.
And I think especially in our day, I mean, of the three dispensations, we're the one that has the complete Word of God, and we're going the same way that the other ones have gone. I mean, I think that can give us a greater condemnation.
Absolutely. There's no question about that. And that's what concerns me, even about myself.
Amen.
Well, right. If God does not save us, I'm talking about you and me. If God does not save us, we started all of this in vain. If He does not bring us through to the end of it, then we started it in vain.
Yeah.
So work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. It's not you.
Look at the last three words of that verse.
Was it so?
That's what you're discussing.
Yeah. God's good pleasure.
God will judge.
God will judge. And not only will He judge, Brother Jerry, but He will judge righteously. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? We are dealing with not perfect. As you and I are, but we're dealing with a holy, righteous spirit. Now, He did take upon Himself flesh, and He dwelt among men as Emmanuel. And He suffered many, many things. We talked about earlier. But folks, He's not going to suffer those things anymore. He suffered once. But now He's coming back the second time without sin. Nobody's going to charge Him with sin this time.
Amen.
He's not going to lay down His life for sin.
Here He is in control.
He's coming in salvation. So may God help us and help those that we love. I bow to the righteous judgment of God concerning all that I love. I don't believe it's wrong for me to pray for them to be saved. But if God does the same, they will not be saved.
Right.
And they will spend an eternity suffering the righteous, the fullness of the righteous wrath of God. Bruce closed us out with prayer.
Our Father and our God, we do thank You for this day and Lord for leading us here.
Yes.
We may be a small group, Lord, but we thank You that You have brought us together.
Amen.
We thank You for the words that we heard, for the words that we sang.
Amen.
And Lord, for these things to think about. And Lord, we know that salvation is of God.
Amen.
It's all of God. Lord, we bow down to that and thank You and praise You. We do lift up our loved ones and our friends. Lord, pray that those who are in Your kingdom, that You would bring into Your kingdom.
Amen.
And Lord, we know there really is nothing sweeter, there's nothing more joyful, nothing more interesting or satisfying, where it can bring pleasure than to think on the things of your kingdom. And to think on Jesus Christ, and to think of your almightiness, and the fact that you had no beginning and no end, and Lord, that you are infinite in your wisdom and power and knowledge. Lord, we know that as we live in this earth, there's evil, and that evil will touch us. And it's all around us.
Yeah.
And Lord, we're not immune from it.
No.
Lord, we do know that just as you told Abraham, you were his shield, you are our shield.
Yes.
And Lord, we know that just as our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, he suffered and was persecuted, Lord, and we too are going to suffer and be persecuted. We think of the Apostle Paul, who went through many, many things, Lord, and those were at your hand. The Lord, we're not immune to those things. And may we bow to your providence, and may we not murmur, not complain, but trust in your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. And you pray for those who are not with us today, Lord, and pray that you will take care of them, bring them back to us next Lord's Day. And for Sister Joyce, Lord, and we know she's going the way that we're going, also the way of the world.
Yeah.
But we do pray for her comfort and pray that her spirit is still centered on you.
Mm-hmm.
We pray for Seth, Lord, who we don't know what's going on in his mind and his soul, but Lord, we do pray that he would have his eyes open and that he would receive Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for the food we're about to have, Lord, and we do lift up, Lord, the sale of this house and pray that it will go smoothly and timely. And it's in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.